Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You can learn more about Geneva Presbyterian at www.genevaopc.org. Please check the Geneva website each week for updated information regarding Geneva's meeting times and locations as we plan for a permanent move to our new location on December 8, 2019. Look for meeting location information at the top of the homepage.
Now, I've already commented that if you wanted to look at a passage of Scripture that tells us a good summary of Paul's theology, his ministry, Colossians 3, 1 through 17 is a wonderful passage to summarize Paul's theology and pastoral ministry. But if we are going to look at perhaps putting it in a verse or two, perhaps Galatians 2, 20 and 21 would be the passage that provides a wonderful summation of Paul's thought in two verses. Please turn to Galatians 2, verses 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we are thankful for such a powerful text concerning our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us know to see it and to also, by thy Spirit, to live it. We ask your blessing upon us this evening. In Christ's name, amen. Are you willing to die in order to live? Are you willing to die in order to live? You may think that this is a morbid thought. You may think, great. I came this evening only to hear Bill Denison give his version of the new Hollywood sequel, Kill Bill. No, my thinking tonight is not controlled by the violent tenors of Hollywood, nor am I trying to place you in a state of consciousness which will stimulate morbid thoughts about death. Rather, it is my hope to place you in the context of the New Testament and its teaching concerning an essential characteristic of the church. This essential characteristic is simply this. In the New Testament, service in Christ's kingdom and his church embraces the essential truth that you must die in order to live. There is no life unless you die. You must live the cross. You must live the cross. Notice this last statement. You must live the cross. The phrase embraces both the resurrection and the death of Christ. You can only live the cross if you are alive and not dead. Paul is clear in Romans chapter 6 that Christ has crucified our sins to the cross. Christ's death brings your death. He has killed the old man in you, the old nature. You have died to sin in Christ's death. We can put it this way. As Christ is crucified, our bodies of sin are now dead. Our bodies of sin, in a sense, are corpses. And if corpses, you are viewed as being dead and not alive. As a corpse, there is no life in you. But Christ did not remain. He did not remain in the grave. No, as the perfect, as the righteous, as the obedient servant of his Father, he is resurrected from the grave. Christ now lives, and he lives forever. Now, the only way you can live in faith union with Christ is through resurrection. As Paul says, we as believers now live in the likeness of his resurrection. Galatians 2:20, part C of our text. He says the same thing in Colossians 3, verse 1, which we read. Hopefully you're getting the point clearly and forcefully. You must live. You must live resurrection. You must live the cross. In accord with the Apostle Paul, this statement combines the death and resurrection of Christ in a way in which you are to live your life before God. You are to live your life before the world. You are to live your life before each other. Indeed, O congregation, your present life of resurrection is a life of the cross. Now, what does this mean? Okay? What does this mean? Well, as I've already pointed out, if Colossians 3, 1 through 17 is a succinct passage of Paul's entire theology, perhaps Galatians 2, 20 is the best verse that presents Paul's theology in one verse. Paul, in Galatians 2:20, is seeing his entire existence in the life of Christ. This is extremely personal. This is extremely practical. This is extremely pastoral to the Galatian church and to us who are here this evening together. Look closely at the personal side here. Notice the personal pronouns in the text. I, me. Three times he uses I, me, each one of them. But how is the I and the me being referenced? In each case, except one, the personal pronouns have a direct relationship with Paul's union with Christ. The believer's union with their Savior. Even the one exception, the phrase, the life which I now live in the flesh, still has a clear fallout in our relationship of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now capture, capture the impact of Christ's death and resurrection upon Paul's person. Will you this evening submit to the Holy Spirit to allow Paul's understanding to come into the depths of your own religious core? Your own religious core. Are you going to permit that, Paul's words, to do that into your very soul? But let us explore 2 points in this regard. First, in chapter 2, Paul has entered into the Jew-Gentile controversy over circumcision and justification related to the law and faith. A controversy that even involves such prominent names as Peter, Barnabas, as you notice in the text, and James. Paul, in this infallible message from the Holy Spirit, in bringing forth this controversy to mind, the discussion unto the new era, he's bringing this controversy into a new era of understanding the issue of these things, of circumcision and the law, in which Christ is inaugurated in the history of redemption. We have clearly moved from the era of circumcision, in which the shortcomings of the circumcision of the flesh, the shortcomings of the law themselves, are fully exposed. Indeed, by the works of the law, no flesh, notice the language, no flesh will be justified. Galatians 2:16. Paul's intense study of the scriptures for a number of years, which he speaks to the Galatian church back in chapter 1, verses 17 through 18, yielded its fruits of study. Christ had brought a whole new era, an era when grace in all of its fullness has exploded upon the scene. Within the dimensions of time and space, into the dimensions of everyday history, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The judicial scene before the throne of God in heaven has been taken care of by those who receive, accept, and rest upon the sole sufficiency of Christ's righteousness with respect to the law. We must rejoice. We must rejoice that we now live in the era of being justified by faith in Christ. Listen carefully to Paul's personal pronouns as he marks the transition that has occurred to this once Pharisaic Jew. For this one who once lived under the dominance of the old covenant to its release in the new covenant. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. Galatians 2:19, the text just prior to what we read this evening. You sense in Paul's language, do you not? The joy, the celebration, the liberation of the new covenant, the justifying grace found in his union with Christ. Indeed, for this once Pharisaic Jew, this death unto the law was identical with his crucifixion together with Christ. An experience which, as a Pharisaic Jew, he could not claim. But now, in Christ, the dawn of the morning without clouds, the freshness and beauty of the new day has dawned. Do you recognize the words? Do you recognize those words? The last words of David. Jesus comes. It's like a day in which the dawn comes upon the people of God. A morning without clouds. Now, secondly, indeed, the new era has been brought by Christ, specifically Christ's death and resurrection. This new era is personalized into Paul by the accomplished redemption of Christ. Do not miss how personal Paul understands Christ's redemption. How personal is Christ's death and resurrection for Paul? Let me ask you, how personal is Christ's death and resurrection for you? For you. Note the grand fact, the grand truth of participation. You want to underline that word tonight in your own mind. Participation. I, notice the text again. Draw your eyes into the text. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Let's stop right now. Let's pause. Wait a second, Paul. You were crucified with Christ? Paul, you were not at the crucifixion. You were not present when Christ was crucified. What on earth are you talking about? But Paul is telling us, yes, I was. Christ's crucifixion becomes so powerful, so dynamic, that the Holy Spirit, through His power, applies the life of Paul, the life of the believer, your life, to the moment of Christ's accomplished redemption. Do you want to understand your personal union with Christ? Do you? Paul's view is so much deeper than the evangelical calling card. It is so much deeper than the mere acceptance of Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. A subjective personal feeling. No, Scripture, Paul, is telling us that the believer is so deeply united with the actual factual events of history that they take root into the very fiber of your being. Christ's death and resurrection takes root right into the very fiber of who you are in terms of your identity in Jesus Christ. This is immensely powerful stuff. It's gripping. It's transformational. Here's what we can say, picking up on the personal pronouns of Paul. When Christ died, I died. When Christ arose, I arose. When I see that repeated on my tests at Covenant College, I know they're finally getting it. My being is totally tied to Christ's crucifixion 2,000 years ago and to Christ's resurrection 2,000 years ago. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You've got to see the weight of that, the power of that. I am in union with Christ's crucifixion to the curse of the law, sin, and death. And Christ as resurrected Savior lives in me as I am compelled to live a life of faith in Christ's righteousness and the holiness of God Himself. Now, one more comment on Galatians 2:20 and our, what's the word? Participation. Participation in Christ's death and resurrection. Notice the reverse order in the last half of the verse. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In the first half of the verse, the crucifixion takes the lead. But in the last half of the verse, the resurrection takes the lead. Now that we are in the fullness of time, Paul will write to this Galatian church, Galatians 4:4, the new covenant era, that fullness of time, the resurrection power is the lead, is that which leads our lives. As I continue to live in the present evil age of the flesh, I survive by living out of Christ's resurrection, my union with Christ's resurrection, by faith in God's Son, who, in his tremendous and triumphant act of sonship, loved me and gave himself for me in his crucifixion. You see, resurrection, then crucifixion. This becomes the pattern of Paul's practical theology, much missed by the teachers of practical theology. This is the pattern of Paul's practical theology. Out of union with Christ's resurrection, you live in union with Christ's crucifixion. You must hear the words of our Savior undergirding the pattern of Paul's teaching here. You probably all are ahead of me. You know exactly what I'm thinking of from the words of our own Savior, the Jesus Christ. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. Hence, Christ's words are to explode, and they are exploding upon the world through the resurrection life of the church. Hence, we are now in the frame of mind, congregation, to respond to my original question. Are you willing to die in order to live? You see, here's the practical theology of Christianity. It means that you deny yourself before God and others. You must sacrifice yourselves for others. You must forgive others in love. You must lay down your life for others as you live. You must die in order to live. It means that you embrace by faith in Christ a life of humility, sacrifice, service, and suffering for the sake of Christ. You see, you come to church as resurrected believers to die in order to live. In doing so, you are putting off the old man and putting on the new man. This is the incredible posture, of the Christian. You are dying to self as you are living in the resurrection union with Christ. Let's make it even stronger, moving from our previous statement, which seems couched in progressive sanctification, dying to self. Let us move to the powerful teaching of our definitive sanctification in Christ. You are dead to self. That's your state in Christ. There is no self-promotion at all alive in you. No, only Christ's resurrection is the blossom of your soul. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It isn't a coincidence that the fruits of the Spirit appear to the Galatian church. Herein, if I understand the Word of God correctly, what is the spiritual gauge of the church and the believer between the death and resurrection of Christ and his second coming? Simply put, do you live the cross? Are you living the cross? A growth in numbers did not necessarily prove this quality. A church solid in its doctrinal instruction does not necessarily demonstrate this quality. a church that is mobilized in terms of evangelism, education, various ministries to distinct groups, committees, and on, does not necessarily demonstrate this quality. Simply put, for Paul, the prescription of the church is simply this. You present your life of resurrection as the life of the cross to each other, before your God and before the world. That's powerful stuff when you understand what Paul is saying. And everything from there follows beautifully in terms of the church. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a magnificent text we have in front of us. We admit that it is not easy for us to live in this great participation of Christ's resurrection and crucifixion. But we ask, O Lord, that you would take our hearts and conform our bodies unto the likeness of Christ Jesus, who came and gave himself, surrendered himself, suffered for us. Help that to be the life of the church in us. In Christ's name, amen.